chapter 4, just the story of the temptation of Jesus. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended to him. Amen. The Lord bless his word to our hearts. We come this morning to the third and last of our mini-series on the subject of listening to God. Over the past couple of weeks, we saw how that if we want to hear from God, essentially we have to slow down and listen. God is willing and wants to talk to us, and he's happy to talk to us, but we have to slow down and listen to give him an opportunity of speaking so that we will hear. We also saw last week that there are some things God will normally always speak to us about, and there are some things that he probably won't. God will always normally speak to us if we're asking about issues concerning our own lives, our personal lives, our progress in God, or how we can be better for the Lord. Anything to do with us personally, individually, the Lord is always happy to help us. The areas where he, and we saw some examples in the Bible, the areas where he tends not to or tends to be silent is when we just want to be a bit nosy and find out about somebody else or something else or things that are way outside of our scope. Very often in those situations, God will be silent. He's not in the business of pandering to our curiosity, but he is in the business of helping us to grow in God and to become more like Jesus. Today, I want to move on to look at one of the issues that hinder us from hearing from God, and that is the fear that what we think is the voice of God may simply be our own imagination. I think that most of us, if not all of us, have been in the situation where we feel that maybe God is saying something to us, and after the initially we tend to think, well, was that just me, or was it God? Was that just my kind of imagination, or was it really the Lord? And I think that's a very real issue. I've been there many times, and I'm sure all of us have been there at different times. And that hinders us from responding sometimes to the things that God is actually saying to us, and we sort of say, "Oh, that was just me," and we don't do anything about it, and that's a shame. Now, right at the beginning, I have to say that there is no simple litmus paper test that we can apply to see if it's God or not. For those of you who have never done chemistry at school, litmus paper is a special kind of paper. If you put it in any liquid, it will immediately tell you whether it's acid or alkaline by changing color. Dead simple, even so simple that anybody can understand. Now, I would love it if there was that kind of test. You know, every time I feel that God is saying something to me, if I could just
put something in the computer or something and say, and then we'll come, yes, this is God, no, it's not God. But I haven't come across one of those yet, and I don't think there is such a thing exists. However, there are a number of questions that we can ask ourselves that will enable us to determine whether the leading is from God or not. There are principles that we can apply that help us to decide, and that's what I want to talk about today, really. The first question that we should ask ourselves is this leading asking me to do something which is in line with Scripture, or is it contrary to Scripture? That's a very obvious one, and the first one. Is this thing that God, that I feel God is leading me into or to do, is it in line with Scripture or is it against Scripture? Because if it's against Scripture, you can be absolutely sure that it's not God. The Holy Spirit will never ask you to do something which is clearly against the Word of God. Now, that should be pretty obvious to all of us, but you know, the enemy is very, very subtle, and he can often get around and things and put them in such a way so that even though we know that, yes, that's not that is against some scriptural principles, but, and that is difficult. I have known some well-known Christian leaders who have divorced their wife and married someone else because they said that the Holy Spirit showed them they'd married the wrong person in the first place. Now, you find it hard to believe that, you know, mature Christians would take that, but the enemy is very, very subtle. You know, people who use the excuse, well, my wife is not supportive of my ministry, so I need somebody who is. And the Holy Spirit, you know, has allowed me to do this. Now, that is the enemy trying to distract us and distort us and divert us from doing what God wants us to do in order to get us to do what He wants us to do. If it's clearly against Scripture, it is not from the Holy Spirit. You can take that 100%. And in the same way, that means that the Holy Spirit will never ask you to do something that is, for example, He'll never ask you or lead you to do something that is deceiving or lying or deceptive to other people. If it's causing or causing you to deceive somebody else, that is not from the Holy Spirit. And we just need to be very, very clear on that. He will never lead you to lie or deceive others. He will never lead you to gossip or cause trouble among friends. He will never encourage us to have a rebellious attitude or an arrogant or unforgiving attitude, because all of those things are clearly contrary to Scripture. You could boil it down probably in a very simple way and simply ask yourself the question, is the thing that I feel God is leading me to do, what would Jesus do in this situation? Is it something that Jesus would do in that way? And if the answer is no, don't do it. Just say, no, thank you. I'm not going to go down that road. On the other hand, if we have a leading that is clearly in line with Scripture and clearly fulfilling what the Scripture says, then it doesn't mean that it is always from God, but it means that it's much more likely to be from the Lord. So the first question is it in line with Scripture or is it contrary to Scripture? That should be a definitive question. The second question that we should ask ourselves is this. Is this proposed action in line with what God has made me and my gifting in God? In other words, is it something that fits with what God has made me to be? Is it in line with what God has called me to be, or is it way outside or even opposite something that God has called me to be? The Holy Spirit is very unlikely to ask you to embark on a course of action that goes against what you are in God. Last week at the end, we talked a little bit about knowing what our gifting in God is. And the simplest way to find that out is to recognize what you're good at and enjoy doing. That's the simplest way just to do that. You know, and God will not normally ask you to do something that's way outside your sort of area of gifting. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." In other words, he was saying, you know, when I put a yoke, now Jesus, of course, lived in a very agricultural society. And in those days, most of the work on the farm and in the fields was done by oxen yoked together. And that was simply like two pieces of wood that joined the oxen together so that when they were working, they could pull a plow or they could pull a cart or they could do anything like that. Now, when the yoke that was made to fit the animals, they could work all day and it didn't cause them distress. But if the yoke didn't fit, you know, sometimes it wasn't. It might not have been made for those particular animals. One was too big or the other was too little or whatever. It ended up that the yoke would chafe their shoulders and would rub against the skin and would cause infections and wounds and would be sore. And it would cause the animals distress so they couldn't work properly and it could even be fatal. Now Jesus said, when I put a yoke on somebody, it fits. That's what he's saying, it's easy. Doesn't mean that it's always hunky-dory, it's easy, always easy to do what God calls. It doesn't mean that at all, but it means that it fits. So we can do it without becoming overstressed or distressed. Now that's a good general principle in life. If we end up doing things that are constantly stressful, it's an indication that we've missed somewhere, that we're not doing what God has called us to do, or we're not doing it in the way that he has called us to do. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So that if God has called us to do something, it is something, initially we might be terrified and say, "Oh Lord, I could never do that." But when you actually take steps of faith and begin to do it, you discover that you can do it, and you can do it with a measure of success. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So is the thing that I'm feeling led to do, is it in line with my gifting and my calling in God? And if it isn't, just put an extra question mark about it. For example, if I felt the Lord was leading me to become a professional singer, I would doubt it. Because I probably couldn't make a living. You know. You see, I know that is not. That's not what I'm called to do. That's not my gifting in God. And in the same way, most of us have areas where we would say, no, that's just not me. So that's the second question. The third question is this, that we need to ask ourselves, is this course of action likely to bring glory to God or bring glory to me? Is it this course of action likely to bring glory to me or to God? Many godly Christians have become sidetracked because they have followed a course of action which they thought would be good for them, but it turned out not to be so. Now that is especially true when the planned course of action involves either a new way of making money or becoming famous. We are all vulnerable to the temptation to become a little bit richer or a little bit more popular. That was one of the temptations that I read about the devil, says to Jesus. He said, you know, show them all the kingdoms of the world. He said, all these are mine. They can all be yours if you just bow down and worship me. Now, of course, Jesus resisted that temptation. But we're all You know, we're all made of the same stuff. If somebody comes along, puts an offer to you, or proposes something that seems, that's marvelous, either a way of, making a bit extra money, or giving me a bit more kudos, or making me more popular, or whatever, then, hey, this is great. Now, big question mark. If it means bringing glory to me, and just put another big question mark there. On the other hand, if the thing that we are thinking of doing, or we feel the Lord is leading us to do, if it means that it's going to bring glory to God, then that's an indication that it may well be from God. It's a simple saying in life that if something seems to be too good to be true, then it probably is. And the same applies in sort of spiritual areas as well. If something seems to be too good to be true, it probably is not true. And we need to avoid. Of course, it's easy to say when we're talking about like making money or some money-making scheme or something like that, but that we can be tempted in areas more in which we would consider more spiritual, something that would give me. I used to think, wouldn't it be marvelous? I'd love to be able to lay hands on everybody who was sick and they're always healed. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, it would, but I don't know whether I could handle it or not. I think I would begin to think that I was somebody very special. Now, there is a sense in which we're all very special, but we begin to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And the same is true I've said this before, and I'm sure we've all heard it before, success is often more difficult to handle than failure. Because when we become or seem to become successful in certain areas, it's easy for pride to begin to slip in and say, I can do this. I'm good at this. And once that kind of attitude comes in, then the anointing of the Holy Spirit goes, because God will not give his glory to another. We have to be careful about that. So that's another useful question to ask. Is this thing going to bring glory to me? If it is, be very doubtful about it. Or is it going to bring glory to God? Even Jesus seems to, in the Gospels, very often you find that after his greatest successes, in inverted commas, he went away to have time with the Father when he fed the 5,000 and stilled the storm and all that kind of stuff. He felt the need to get away and spend time with the Father in order to put the successes that he had in perspective. And that's still a good thing to do. The fourth question that we should ask ourselves is this: does this course of action involve servanthood or self-sacrificing? Let me explain what I mean by that. Human nature does not naturally like servanthood. We like to be served rather than serving others or self-sacrificing. So if we feel a leading that involves an element of servanthood or self-sacrifice, one thing we can be pretty sure, it's probably not coming from our own nature, our own self. If it means that I am going to have to serve others, or I'm going to have to give something that I probably don't want to give, then it's an indication that it's probably not coming from my old normal nature. But on the other hand, if it does involve servanthood and self-sacrifice, it is quite likely that it's actually coming from the Lord, because very often Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve. And of course, he demonstrated that so wonderfully on the night before he was crucified, when he washed the disciples' feet. They were all gathered there after a dusty day. Normally a servant would wash the feet, but there didn't seem to be anybody around. And Jesus gets a basin and a towel.
Probably the disciples were waiting for somebody else to do it. Jesus did it. You see, servanthood reflects the heart of Christ. And anything that reflects the heart of Christ, we can be pretty sure it's in line with the Holy Spirit. Anything that is opposite to the heart or the spirit of Jesus, we can be, and we should be, a bit doubtful of that. If the course of action that I am thinking about, if it promotes me, treat it with a great deal of caution. If it means that I lose something but others are blessed, then quite likely it's from the Lord. Now that would include things like giving money to somebody who needs it, or an organization, or something like help people in need. It would also include volunteering, especially volunteering for those jobs that nobody else wants to do. You know, I remember over the years when I was in Beth Shan for many years, we usually normally never had any difficulty finding people to volunteer for roles that involved being on the platform. But it was very often more difficult to get people to volunteer for roles that nobody noticed, or that were behind the scenes, or that were kind of, you know, the more mundane kind of things. But Jesus was always willing to serve. Fifth way of checking out if a leading is from God is to ask the opinion of mature Christians who know us well. The Bible says, in the multitude of counselors there is wisdom. Now, I would encourage us to ask the other questions first, because most things, and when the leadings we get from God, they're very personal things. Most of them are not huge, big things. If they're huge, big things, then I think we do need to take a lot of advice. When I mean huge, big things, I mean life-changing decisions that you have to make. But most of the things that God speaks to us about are just ordinary things. You know, you feel you should ring somebody. I miss so-and-so. And you feel maybe I should phone them. And then they say, oh, well, that's just me. Well, if you feel it, do it. You know, if it's something that's not going to cause a lot of problem or not going to, you know, just do it. The worst that can happen is you might feel a little embarrassed. Oh, I might have got that wrong. But it's better to get it wrong and obey God than to not do it. And then maybe later you say, oh, I wish I'd done that. I've been in those kind of situations. And again, I must find these are the kind of situations that I find very difficult. You know, I've been in situations where I feel, should I go and visit somebody or should I not? And I feel a nudge, I should go and visit so-and-so. And then I thought, well, I'm very busy today and tomorrow, and maybe I'll go next week. And several times over the years, the person has died. And I realized, Lord, I'm sorry. I should have obeyed the nudging of the Holy Spirit to go then, rather than to wait and miss the opportunity. I just want to encourage all of us today to be people who have ears that are open and listen and obey. Most of the time, you're not going to do any harm to anybody by obeying a leading, even if it's not from God. As long as it's not something where you're telling somebody to change their life or make a decision that's going to affect their life. If that's the kind of situation, then you need to be very, very careful. And one way you can be careful is to take advice, to talk to somebody that you respect, somebody who's maybe a bit more mature or been on the road a bit longer, somebody that you trust and somebody that you respect, and say, I'm thinking of this. I think the Lord is leading me to do that. What do you think? Or at least to ask them to pray about it. Now, there is safety in that. There is safety in that. And that is wise and good, because it protects us from making or going down a road that may be a wrong road. You see, when all is said and done, when we need to hear from God, especially in areas of guidance and direction, where we are changing direction, the basic pattern is still that you bring the matter to the Lord. You talk to him in prayer. The Bible says if we acknowledge him in all our ways, he will direct our paths. We heard that promise this morning. Now, that doesn't mean that it's that you're going to know immediately what way to go, but you bring it to God, and you keep bringing it to God until you feel you have some clarity on the matter. Because the more you bring something to God, if it's from the Lord, as the more you pray about it and think about it and pray about it, the stronger the feeling will become. If it's not from God, then the more you pray about it, the more you think about it, and the more you pray about it and bring it to God, the weaker the feeling will become. And it will tend to fade away if it's not from God. But if it is from the Lord, as you pray about it, as you talk about it, and if necessary, as you talk to other people about it, it will be clear, because sometimes we get so close to issues that it's difficult for us to see the wood from the trees. So it's good to talk to somebody you can trust. You can stand back a little and say, now, this is how I'm seeing it. What do you think? And especially if you have two or three people, you could ask like that. And if they all say no, then be very, very careful. On the other hand, if it is from God, it will simply confirm the thing that you have been thinking about. So God wants to talk to us about our own lives and the issues that affect our lives. He wants to talk to us about the things that we are doing for him. You see, the Lord wants this ongoing, it all boils down to a relationship with God. You cannot have a relationship without communication. Well, technically you could, but it's not much of a relationship if you don't talk to each other, if you don't listen to each other. But if we have that kind of relationship with the Lord, where we take time to talk to him and we take time to listen to him, then it means that he can whisper things to us. He can nudge us in the directions that he wants us to go. And we can find the way that he wants us to go. And that is always the best. We don't have to muddle through life, kind of wondering, is this the right thing or is it the wrong thing? I think it's quite normal when you're a younger Christian to feel like that. But, you know, we don't, as we get to know the Lord better and as we listen to him, we learn to listen to his voice. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me, for they know my voice. That's what we're talking about this morning, knowing his voice. Because we have an enemy that will try to distort it all and pretend. The Bible says the devil can appear as an angel of light. You know, he can pretend to be. But when I've said all that, we have a loving Heavenly Father who loves us so much. You know, I've got two sons. I would never deceive either of them. Never, never think if they ask me a question or ask me, I would never think of, oh, I wonder how I can trick Andrew or Simon. I would never, we would never do that. We would always want to help them because we love them and we have their best interests at heart. And if they ask us a simple question, we will always try to give them a simple, a straight answer. Now God, our Father's like that. He wants us to talk to him. And he wants us to listen, and he says, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain grace to help in a time of need. Come, by all means, come and keep coming. He doesn't get bored or tired of us coming. Oh, it's Joe again, or it's Phil again. Oh, dearie me. No, he's delighted when we come and talk to him. And all I'm saying in this little series that we've been doing at the beginning of this year, just let's do it more and let's do it better in this year that we've just entered upon. because he wants to talk to us. And if we do that, we can avoid some of the mistakes that maybe otherwise we wouldn't avoid.
Amen. The Lord bless his word to our hearts. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Phil.